Okay, so if you brought your Bibles, did anybody bring their Bibles? A couple of y'all did. If you brought your Bibles, if not, we'll have some stuff on the screen. We're going to turn to Galatians, the book of Galatians, Galatians 6, 9 to be specific. And this is going to be our anchor scripture for the day. So this is where we're going to preach out of. So Galatians 6, 9, it's in the New Testament. And it is, when you guys are there, say amen. Amen. When everyone's there. Everyone's there? Okay. It's Galatians 6, 9. We're going to see. Read this. It says, "Let us not get tired of doing what is good, for at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we do not give up." Amen. Let's just pray before we get started. Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, the fact that we have breath in our lungs, that we got to wake up and stretch our arms and walk into your house this morning, Lord. We are thankful. We're so thankful, Lord. And I just surrender everything that's about to be said today, Lord. I just surrender it to you. And I ask you, Father God, to just be with us. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. Have your way and speak to us, each and every one of us, that we may leave here, Father, just knowing more of you and your heart for us, Lord. And we just thank you, and we call ourselves blessed that we are in the hands of a very good Father. Amen. 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 If it's okay, what I want to do, if you guys are cool with this, well, I'm going to do it anyway, but is share a personal story. Is that okay? So I was about 19 years old. I was probably like a year into my faith, and I just came to know the Lord, and I was working at this job, and I was invited to a party that my boss was putting together. And I really didn't want to go because I knew there was going to be a lot of, we'll just say, ungodly things going on at this party. And I didn't want to go because I just came to know the Lord. But I had just started working this place. I had no friends. I had, you know, so I was like, let me just go to this thing, and I'll just tell them I need to dip out, you know, and I won't stay there too long. And so I was there. They knew I was a Christian, and, you know, they would joke about it and make fun of me and stuff. And I excused myself out. I just went kind of to show face, if you know, you know. And I just did that. And then I was like, hey, I got to leave because I have church in the morning. This was a Saturday night. And so I left. I left that event, and I was driving home. I was on 1604, and I was just weeping to God because I felt so alone. I felt so alone. I didn't really want to go to this. I really had no church community. I had just all my friends that I had before I came to the Lord had all left. So I had no friends, and I was just, I'm not from San Antonio. I had no family here. And I was just driving, and I was just like weeping before the Lord. And I was just like, man, like I have nobody. I felt so alone. I was financially struggling. It was just like a very hard season of my life. And I just remember just crying to God, just like, I need you. I need something. Like this is difficult. Has anybody been in a place like that? Is that familiar? Yes? No? Maybe just me. And I got home that night, got ready for bed, and at church was the next day. And I said, I need a word. I need a word, Lord. How many, you know, do we just need a word from God? And that's when I opened up and I read Galatians, and that's when I first read Galatians 6:9. And let me tell you, like, there's some times where you just read scripture and it just like clicks. Like, it's like, that's just what I needed to hear. Like, how many of you believe that God still speaks today? Like, he so actively speaks today. And it was in that moment that I just was like, man, that's exactly what I needed. My spirit needed that. My soul needed that. And it needed this, like, this message of like, hey, just don't give up. Like, you're continue to do what you're doing. Just do not give up. So if you're taking notes this morning, I'm going to go through a couple of points, but this is the first one that I want to emphasize on. And it is that weariness is part of the race. It is part of the race. You know, Paul says here in this scripture, Paul's, you know, the author of Galatians, and he says, let us not get weary. Let us not get tired. And notice that he says us. He doesn't say you, but he says us. So Paul includes himself in this message. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Apostle Paul, this is the Apostle Paul who wrote the majority of the New Testament, the second part of the Bible. And he was the apostle who planted churches. He was persecuted, beaten, imprisoned. He went through so many things, right? If there's anybody who knows what it feels like to just maybe want to give up, I think he would kind of be one of them, right? I don't know if you guys have gone through some of those things, but he understood weariness. And here he is telling the church, let us not get weary. And he's also saying this, and he's telling them that it is going to happen. He wouldn't say this if it wasn't a possibility. He wouldn't say, let us not get weary if we weren't going to get weary. Because weariness is part of the race. It's part of being a Christian. And so look at your neighbor and tell them that weariness is part of the race. It is. It is part of the race. And we all know that it's very, very easy to start something. You know, it is. That's the easy part. Starting something is easy. Anybody started a diet, right? Or a health plan, right? Or marriage, right? Like, that's very easy. It's very easy to start something, right? It's going through it. You laugh, but it's true, right? You know, it's laugh. I mean, it's true. The challenge is consistency. The challenge is staying in it. That is the challenge. And it gets very hard. Because let's just be real, life is hard. It's hard for the believer and it's hard for the unbeliever. The difference is that we have God. We have God. We don't have to do this alone, right? And so if we look at Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, which hope deferred simply means waiting. You know, staying faithful, you know, is easy if we know what's coming right away, but it's in that waiting period that it just makes us sick sometimes. You know, when you're waiting for something, you just feel sick. It just, it affects you. Disappointment affects you. Unanswered prayers affect us, right? We're human. It affects us. And the Lord knows this. And so what I want you to know about weariness is that the concept of it is not just something that you stumble into. You don't just end up weary, like from one day to the next. You don't just wake up this morning like, I'm weary. Like, you might be tired because maybe you didn't sleep well. And that's not what I'm talking about. Weariness is that just like you just labor, you just gone through it. You're just tired. You know what I mean? Like it's very different. And that doesn't happen overnight. That happens little by little by little. It just creeps up and sometimes it just starts with one disappointment that happens. Sometimes it is an unanswered prayer, an argument, a difficult season, and then it just keeps going and keeps going until the time you're just carrying on this weight that you were never meant to carry. And you're just tired. Has anyone been there? Let's just be real this morning, right? Like, we've been there. It's just tiring. It's exhausting. And that's the enemy's plan, I believe, I believe he has a lot of plans, but this is one of them. It's not really try to convince us that God isn't real. It's just to get us sometimes so tired that we just opt out of the race ourselves. Like, we just self-select and we just get ourselves out of it. And it happens. I mean, for those of you who have been in the faith long enough, you've seen people come in and out, right? Times get just so tough and it just knocks them down. And sometimes it just wipes them out and they're out. But what I want you to know is that weariness, it's part of the race. It's going to happen. I don't say that to scare anybody, but I do say so that we are encouraged to know that we're not alone in this, but also be encouraged to know to just expect it. Sometimes you got to know the plan. You just got to know what's coming. So that way you're prepared. You see, it's getting, his job is to get us so tired that we just stop running. He doesn't need us to deny Christ. He just wants us to quit. Quit praying, quit believing, quit hoping, quit dreaming, quit, sometimes just quit coming to church, right? Like that is his thing. And we do it all on our own. You know, that is his lie. That is one of his biggest lies. And so, I have to say this too. I hope this is kind of encouraging. I hope this encourages you because I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm really just trying to prepare people of what comes. But this was something I was thinking about last night, and I really have to say it. And Pastor Petey kind of was talking about it when he was doing the call to prayer, is that, you know, in weariness and sometimes these things happen, is that sometimes we fall into sin and sometimes we slip up. And sometimes when we do those things, we think that we should just get out of the race already because I just fell. I messed up. I need to get out. And that's one of the biggest lies of the enemy, is that once you fall, it's like, that's it, man. You messed up. And now I'm going to tell you something. This was one of the hardest things for me to get in my spirit and get into my soul. I used to think that every time that I would fall into sin or slip up or mess up or whatever, that God would legit pick me up and put me back at the starting line. And then I had to start all over again. And every time I was like, man, it just felt like this little hamster wheel. I could just never get out of it. And that is not what it is at all. That is not what that means at all. But this was me, an early Christian, believing that. How many of you have believed that? Right? Like you just think that, like, man, I just fell and I just have to start all over again. And that is, you're just running, you fall, you just get back up. If you see a runner, if you see these marathons, someone falls, they don't take them back to the beginning. They just get back up and they just keep going. You know, and that's really just all that it is that you just get up and keep going. You know, Proverbs 24:16 says that the godly man may trip 7 times, but they will get up again. But it's one disaster that overthrows the wicked. Let us not be like the wicked. Let us not be like the wicked. Let us be the one that if we fall, we just get right back up and we keep on going. We just keep on going. 1 John says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and he cleanses us from our wickedness. So what does this mean? It just means that if you do fall, if that does happen to be you or you're caught in that, it just means that you repent before the Lord, you ask him for your forgiveness, for his forgiveness, and then you receive his beautiful grace and you get up and you keep going. That's exactly what it means. The enemy really wants you to kind of stay in that place, and that will throw somebody out. That will throw somebody out. If it hasn't happened to you, it's maybe happened to somebody that you know, and that's a real thing. And now this is not an excuse. I'm not saying this like, so that means that, oh, so can we just keep on sinning and, you know, we'll just like fall, get back up and fall. No. That's not what I'm saying. That's definitely not what I'm saying. I think Romans does talk about this, right? It says like, oh, so could I just keep on sinning so that I can have more grace and more grace? Not at all. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that if it does happen, don't kill yourself over it. Right. Don't kill yourself over it. Christ died for that. Amen. Christ died for that. He already bore that. He died for that. Why would you do that to yourself? He already did that. So this is meant. So when we think about this on this weariness part, I really want it to just settle within your spirit that when you do feel like you're going through something like that, you are not alone. In fact, you're in very good company. You're in very good company. Weariness doesn't mean that God's abandoned you. It doesn't mean that you're a failure. Sometimes it just simply means that you're running. Yeah. It just means that you're running the race. Yeah. People who are not running the race are not going to get weary. Right? So if you're getting weary, chances are sometimes it just means that you are in the fight. Amen. Amen. You're in the fight. And let that encourage your spirit. Let that not take you out. Let that not deceive you to believe other things because your mind will play tricks on you. Your mind will, most of the battles are right here. That's so true. They're all right here. And we have to do a good job to be able to filter our thoughts, know God. That's what's important for us to know God's word so that we know what's true and we know what's not true. So you know, I used to hear one time, it's like our mind needs to be like that Starbucks triple filtration when they filter their water. It just like, they do, they have that triple filtration. If you don't know about Starbucks water, that's why it's amazing. It like our mind needs to be that good that we need to filter these thoughts as they come in and know what to grab hold of and what to just like let out and what to let out. So what I want you to know is that you're not alone. I know that you're not alone. You're in a fight. And all of us in this room, we are all in this with you. We're all together. We're all in this together. Amen. 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 So if we go back to this verse, Galatians 6:9, okay, it says, let us continue to do what is good, and at just the right time. Can you say that? Just the right time? At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we do not give up. At just the right time. If we're honest with ourselves, the concept of time could be very difficult for us. Right? I mean, it's not our time, it's his time. And I think that's one of the hardest things for us. I know for me, that's a very difficult thing for me to accept sometimes, that it's in his timing and not in our timing. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we probably almost all to some degree struggle with impatience, right? I mean, we live in a very fast society. This is Amazon culture, man. This is like, I want it now. Like, I want it now. So much so that we get fast food delivered to our house now. Right? Like it's not fast enough. We want to deliver to our house. You know, the other day I had ordered some stuff on Amazon for next day and I'm there like checking it multiple times throughout the day. Like, is it here yet? Tracking the guy. I don't know if you've ever done it where it tells you he's 5 stops away and you're just like following it. Like if it wasn't enough for it to be 5, you know, the next day, I'm like super anxious about this, but that's real. Like it's just embedded in us, right? Like we are so impatient, much like to wait. I mean, it is a very, and I believe, you know, that's why patience is a fruit of the spirit. Patience is a fruit. It doesn't come naturally to us. Anybody have kids and been on a car ride, on a road trip? You know, what's that famous saying? What do they say? Are we there yet? Yeah. That's right. Right? It's like, it's just kind of like embedded in us. That's why to learn this is like, it is a fruit of the spirit. Patience is a fruit of the spirit. And we have to learn that because there's going to be seasons of our life where we're just going to have to wait. Yeah. There's so many scriptures, Proverbs, Psalms, talked about waiting on the Lord. To wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord. But how many of you know, if you've ever been in that situation, that you're just so thankful that you did and you're just so thankful that it was on his timing and not yours? Because if it would have been on your timing, you would have just jacked it all up. It would have just been ruined. Right? His timing is perfect. It's perfect in all its ways. It's perfect. And sometimes, you know, those things are, sometimes it does happen quickly. I've seen where the Lord answers prayers just immediately, where the Lord heals someone, the Lord delivers someone from something. He does things right away. That does happen, right? Yeah. It does happen. We see those things. So it's not to say that the Lord cannot do that. Those things very much do happen. But for those of you who have walked in this journey with him long enough to knows that he tends to work in seasons. Yeah. If you're just honest, you come to know that pretty quickly, that he learns in seasons. And that is probably one of the best lessons you can learn as a believer, is so that the Lord works in seasons. But if I think about it, I just think about Abraham. He got a promise for a son. He had to wait decades for that. Joseph got a dream. He had to go thrown in prison in years until he got what he wanted. That woman who had that issue with blood, 12 years of suffering. Sometimes some things just take time. And it's just the reality. But let us not grow weary in the waiting. That's the thing. It's just let us not grow weary in the waiting. Because the harvest is there if we do not give up. And that's kind of what Paul is telling us. He's telling the people of Galatia who had been doing this for so long. And he's just telling them, like, don't get tired. Just don't get tired. I know you're going to want to get tired. I know there's going to be seasons where you're going to get tired. But just do not get tired. Because Isaiah reminds us that the Lord is the everlasting God. God's timing is very different from ours. Time belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. He is the author of time. He is the beginning of time. He is all time. Amen? Amen? That's really what he is. And so for us to know that and for us to carry that is refreshing. It's refreshing that we can trust him with that. That's where trust comes in at play, right? We have to trust him with this, that time belongs to him and that he sees what we cannot see. He knows what we can't possibly know, and he authors it all together. The promise here is not that everything will happen according to our timeline, but so much so that he's faithful enough to deliver, because he is faithful. He's a faithful God. Amen? So I know that I was praying this morning as I was coming here, and I was like, and I know, like, trust me, like, patience is one of those things that I'm like daily dealing with. Probably in this season more than not. You can ask my wife and my kids about it. It's like it's a real thing. I can be a quite impatient person. And, you know, impatience is just, it's a signal of, you know, I just don't trust God enough. Or I just want to control everything because I don't trust him enough. And he's just like exposing that more and more each day of how, like, man, like, I need to trust him with more things, or I need to give these things to him. And it's very hard. It's very difficult. It is very difficult. We're in the midst of it. But friends, if we settle that in our spirit, that God is in control, and that's probably better for us than us being in control, I think we're in a better place. I think we'll be in a much better place. And that is the part of faith. Faith is believing in the unseen things. It's wanting something and you cannot see it, but you're going to believe in it even though you cannot see it. It's wanting those things and believing it. You know, that, going back to that story, you know, I was driving on 1604 weeping and crying, and just, I was laying everything out to God. I was just like, God, like, I was praying for everything. I was like, you know what, this is my time to just ask him for, like, I'm a believer that you can ask the Lord for anything and everything. You just give that to him, and then he's going to do what he's going to do, right? He knows he's wise enough to know what I can handle, what's for me, what's not for me, but I'm going to lay down, he already knows what I'm thinking and wanting, and I'm just going to lay this before him. And I just remember on that drive, I was praying for a promotion or a new job or something, because I wasn't making enough money. I was struggling financially. I was praying for that. I was praying for godly friends. I was praying for a church community. This was early in my faith. I was 19. And I remember I was driving. I even looked to the passenger seat. This is really real. And I thought I was crazy, but I did it. And I was looking to the passenger seat, and I was just envisioning my wife sitting here in the passenger seat, and there was nobody. I wasn't dating anybody at the time, but I was just envisioning my wife in the passenger seat. I looked in the back seat. I was envisioning kids in the back seat. And I was just envisioning thank God for imagination, right? Thank God that he gives us a mind to imagine and to wonder and to dream. And I was just laying these things before him. And I was just like, Lord, like, these are the things that I desire. These are the things in my heart. And I was just giving them to him. And so, and then, you know, the story, I went home and I read that scripture. Well, the next day, I went to church that morning, and then I went into the store. I was just minding my own business, doing my thing, just, you know, and I see the store managers, they were all in the back, just kind of like rushing back and forth, and I'm like, something's going down. I don't know what's going down, but something's going down. And I was just minding my own business, just doing my thing, and just, you know, like, I don't know what's going on. Something's going down. And then I just saw one of the store managers just, like, rush out. Like, just rush out, angry, like, give me this, like, stank face and just, like, rushed out. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I get called, and they're like, Michael, can you come to the back office? And so I went to the back office, and they're like, we're going to promote you to a store manager. And I just was like, wait, what? Like, what just happened? And then she's like, yeah, you know. And then she just, like, started unveiling everything. Stuff went down at that party after you left, and it turned into this whole thing and blah, 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 whatever. And I'm like, thank God for not being a part of things that you should not be a part of and that you just listen and you just, like, get out, right? Right? And I just was – and so she was like, you know, if you'd like this, we'd like to give you this position. She's like, you've been so faithful, and you come in and you do your thing, and we would love to give this to you if you're for it. I legit started crying. I legit started crying before her, and I witnessed before her, and I told her that I had prayed to the Lord that night for something and that this was an answered prayer. And she was just like – she didn't know the Lord. And she was just like – just so shocked that she started sharing that story with everybody around the church. Like, did you know that God answered Michael's prayer? She was telling everybody, and that she was a part of it. And that she was just like telling everybody that story. But it was an answered prayer. I legit was praying that, like, literally that night. Like, I was, like, almost just blown away that this was, you know, this had happened. And that's what I'm saying. Some things do happen right away. But then it took, like, a year for me to find, you know, later on that year is when I finally found church community that became lifelong friends, good friends of mine. Then it took 7 years for me to find a wife. And then, like, 3 years later for me to have kids. So things happen. And I'm not saying this to boast about myself or anything. Don't hear that. What I'm saying is that God, it's all in God's time. It's all in God's time. Some things happen suddenly, and some things happen in seasons, and just not so suddenly. And if we're honest with ourselves, we get impatient because we want it our way. We want the harvest now. Like, we want everything now. But things just happened as they come. And I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful that the Lord knew not to give me certain things. Thank God he did not give me a wife when I wanted a wife. I would not have been able to handle my wife. And she would not be able to handle me, to be quite honest. So it's probably a very good thing that that did not happen when it happened, right? So I'm just so thankful that the Lord is wise enough to know that even though he's like, I know, that's, you know, I'll say this because this is a really good thing. The Holy Spirit interprets our prayers to the Father, and he speaks on behalf. So I might be praying something. I'm saying, Lord, I want a wife. I want this or whatever. The Holy Spirit is doing work, and we don't even know it. That he's just like, okay, we're going to start working on you. We're going to do some stuff on you because this is what you want, but we know we can't do it right now. And he's working with the Father on our behalf, and we don't even know it. And that's exactly what happens. So the harvest, sometimes these harvests happen slowly, but faithfulness is never wasted. Not one prayer is wasted. Those prayers aren't wasted. Those acts of obedience that you're doing in the waiting are not wasted. The sacrifices aren't wasted. Not one moment is wasted in the kingdom of God. Not one moment is wasted. Those prayers that you have prayed, they're not wasted. Nothing is ever wasted. And I tell you this again, just so that you're encouraged in your spirit to know that those things that you have asked the Lord for, he sees you, he hears you, he knows you. It may not be right now, but he knows you and he hears you and he sees you. So I just want you, and I'm pretty sure that if we just kind of like put all of our chairs in a big circle and we all start talking about the things that God's done in our lives, there's probably a ton of stories like that in this room. I'm pretty sure you all have your own stories of where God showed up in your life. Is that not true? Yeah. I'm pretty sure you have those stories where God delivered and did something for you. And if you notice in the Bible, the Lord always calls us to remember. He calls us back to remembrance. Why? Because sometimes we need to be reminded of the things that he's done for us to encourage us to keep moving forward. That's why he says, he reminds us to do, you know, participate in the Last Supper, remind us. We have to be reminded. We have to consistently be reminded because we forget. We're like little sheep. We just forget. We have just like Dory, the little fish. We just forget. And we just have to be reminded. We have to be reminded of the things that God's done in our lives. And I would tell you, like, as I was preparing this and I was going through that story, my emotions got involved. I was like crying. I was like back in that car and I was like visioning the senses, everything. And I was like, man. And it was just like, I was just looking around. I was like, I'm just so thankful. Here I am like yelling at my kids because they're not cleaning the house or whatever. And I'm like, there I was like 7, 8 years ago praying for kids. And now I have them, you know? And so it's like, the Lord just like brings these things to remembrance so that we could be reminded of the things that he's done, that he is so faithful and that he is so good. Amen. Amen. You know, the promise here says that you will reap I love these. These are the if-thens in the Bible, right? These are the promises of God. If you see an if-then, there's a promise there. And this one is a promise. It says, if you continue to do what is good, continue to do what is good, and at just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessings if, there's that if, there's that if-then. If you what? If you what? We just read it. If you don't give up, right? If you do not give up. That's the thing. You will reap a harvest of blessings if you do not give up. And that's kind of what that is. So then this question quickly becomes, well, then how do we stay long enough to see this? How do we stay long enough to see the harvest? How do we stay faithful even when it doesn't come immediately? How do we stay faithful? How do we continue to encourage ourselves to be in it, right? That's really kind of what comes next. And I think that the answer of this is in Matthew 25. So I'm gonna give you don't have to go there. You could go there and you can read it. In fact, I encourage you to read it. It's the parable of the 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom. If y'all haven't heard that story. And I'm going to paraphrase it for you, but I encourage you to go read it back. And so here the Lord is talking to the apostles, and he's telling them this parable of what the kingdom of God is like. And he says that the kingdom of God is like these 10 virgins with their lampstands. And so these 10 virgins, they have these 10 lamps that are filled with oil, and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come. And they all fall asleep, and they get tired. And so they hear that the bridegroom's coming, so they get ready and they get up. And they all have their lamps, but five of them were called to be wise and the other five were unwise. The five that were wise had extra vials of oil to keep the lamps burning. The other five did not. And the ones that did not asked the ones that had it, "Hey, can we have some of those? Like, can you give us some of your oil?" And they're like, "You know, we don't have enough to give to you either. This is ours. But if you go to the store, you know, you might be able to go get some oil. So go and do that and, you know, you'll be good." So they go and they go get the oil. But by the time they came back, the doors were already closed for the wedding ceremony, the wedding reception, and they were locked out. And then when the bridegroom opens the door, they want to get in. When they're knocking on the door, and he says to them, "I don't know you." And it kind of ends in that abrupt. But what I took from that story here is that what keeps us sustaining is to keep our oil filled. And in the Bible, oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is used to be a representative of oil. So when you hear oil, a lot of times that's symbolism to the Holy Spirit. And here we had these women that were getting tired and they became weary. And so the difference here on that preparation was that they had oil. And so this parable was about Christ's return, right? This was about him kind of returning. But how many times that we can see that in what we're going through, that oil matters, and that we just, when we feel weary, sometimes the answer is just to keep our oil filled and just connect back to Jesus. Sometimes that's what it takes, is just to connect back to Jesus, to spend time with Jesus. So this is kind of point three, if you're keeping notes this morning, is to keep our oil in our lamp, to keep ourselves filled. That's really important. Because if you're listening to anything this morning, this is what I really want you to hear, because I've learned this and it's been one of the hardest things of my life, is that many times we're exhausted and we're super tired because we're doing things in our own strength. Weariness sometimes happens because we're just doing all of this in our own strength. We're doing it in vain, and that was never God's design. His design was never for us to do things in our own strength. And so sometimes weariness is a sign that we're doing things out of that. Sometimes it's here when we're serving at church, or we're taking care of our kids, or we're taking care of our household, and we're doing all of this stuff in vain, but we're not relying on him. And I was reading this book right now, and it's on emotional spirituality, and the author says here that God created human beings. He didn't create human doings. We were meant to just be. And sometimes we just get so caught up in doing, and we get so caught up in just doing all of this stuff that we forget that his design for us was just to be with him and just to commune with him and just to have relationship with him. Amen. Like sometimes that's all that's just required, is for us just to partake and just to spend time with him. And so somewhere along the way, we have convinced ourselves that the Christian life is about doing more. It's about trying harder, working harder. It's just doing more. And that was never what it was about. That's never what it was about. It was always about just being like Mary, just being at his feet, just being there with him. That's always what it's been about. And Jesus has invited us into that. He's invited us into this relationship. He's brought us into this relationship. He's invited us into this fellowship. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy, and he will give us rest." That was an invitation that he gave us. So he too knows that we were going to be weary. He too knows that we were going to feel this burden, but he invites us into that. And so sometimes we're going through this and we have like taken our weariness to like all kinds of places except to Jesus. We have not given them back to him. We have not gone to him. So if you ask yourselves when you're weary, like, what is it that you do? You don't have to answer that right now, but just like ask yourself that question and answer that with your, like, when you are weary, what do you do? And where are you going and what are you doing? Because the answer should be, for myself included, should be going back to Jesus. Going back to him and just spending time with him and just resting with him, because he will give us strength. The Lord says that he is our strength. He gives power to the faint. He is our strength. He is our rest. So the answer isn't striving more. It's not anything other than just staying in his presence and being in his presence. The answer is his presence. That is the answer. So when you're weary, that is the answer. It's his presence. And what does that look like? It looks differently for so many kinds of people, but you know that the answer is to just spend quality time with Jesus. And I know this because I know that for myself, if I'm weary, I have to just clock myself. And I know, like, I haven't really just given him this isolated time. We're so busy in our life that I haven't even fully just like spent time with him just to hear from him. And just, when was the last time I just sat like and just read his word and no distractions, not looking at my phone, not doing this, that, and the other, just like spending time with him. And I will tell you that when you do that and when you spend time with him, that's when everything just like settles. It just like settles. I was in a work trip, and I remember I called my wife and I was so anxious. I was just, there was a lot going on. I was like working at this conference and it was back and forth. I was on a complete other time zone on the other part of the world for work. And I was just so exhausted. And I just was like, Lord, like, oh, this is like, I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. Everything's going on. And I really did. He gave me a word and he was just like, just stop. Like, he was just don't worry. Just stop worrying. Just stop worrying. And can you just like, just spend time with me? Like, you're here. You don't have the distraction of your kids. You don't have the distraction of this and the other. You can actually just spend time with me if you want to. You actually have the luxury to just spend time with me. And I did that. And I remember calling my wife. I was like, oh my God, like the Lord gave me a word. And I just feel so refreshed because I just spent time with him. And this is amazing. And sometimes that's just all it is. It's just spending time with him. He's like that dad who just wants our attention, just wants us to spend time with him, just wants to be with us. And we're just over here just wanting to do this, that, and the other. And he's like, I just want to be with you. I just want to spend time with you. And that's the thing that really fills our cup. That's what keeps our oil filled. That is what keeps us going. So Paul here, he says, don't grow weary. And Isaiah reminds us that we are going to grow weary, but that the Lord is our strength. Amen. Say, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The weary receive strength from the one who gets us. You know, he is the one who's going to sustain us. So I don't want anybody to feel discouraged this morning, but instead to feel encouraged to know that you have access to the one who is going to help you get through whatever it is that you're going through this morning. You have access to it. You don't need anything other than just to reach out to him and just to go directly to him, because those who wait upon the Lord will have renewed strength. That's what the Bible says. And if he says it, it's true. And I just have to believe that it is true. So it's not, you know, those who work harder, those who strive harder. No, those who wait upon the Lord. And that's what we have to just settle in our spirits, because I know we get caught up in it. And so those wise virgins, they remained ready because they remained prepared. They had that connection. And notice that he says, I don't know you. It's not that they knew him. So many people say, I know Jesus, I know God. No, he says, I don't know you. It's, does God know you? And that only happens through relationship. That's the only way that happens. Right? Like, that's the only way that happens, is like in relationship. And so I just want us to really understand that we sometimes have complicated this and made this way more complicated than it really is. And it really is just that simple. It's just the simplicity of just spending time with Jesus, staying close to his presence and staying in his word and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Pete, if you can come up. And so this morning, I really want you to just take some time and really think about what it is in your life. If you are in that season of growing weary, if you are in that season of, man, I'm just so tired. If that's you this morning, can you just raise up your hand? Just don't be, it's fine. I'll raise up my hand if that's just you this morning. If you're just like, I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. Things are heavy. In this moment, I want to do this morning as Pastor Peter plays. We're going to just do a prayer this morning. I'm going to do this and I want you to pray with me, okay? So it's going to be a prayer that we're going to do together. So if everybody can just close their eyes, just close your eyes this morning. Just close your eyes this morning. Just don't worry about the person to the left, the person to the right. Just close your eyes this morning. Let us not get tired of doing what is good. For at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we do not give up. Just stay there. Just stay in that moment with your eyes closed. I want us to practice stillness right now. We're always moving. We're always going. We're picking up the kids. We're going to work. We're paying bills. We're doing returns, errands. We're always just moving. I just want us to be still this morning. Just right there where you're at, just be still. Just thank you, Jesus. Again, if that's you this morning and you just are just so tired and just so tired and so heavy, I want you just to pray this with me. And everyone, just pray this. Just say, Lord Jesus, I just want you. I just need you. I'm just tired. Would you come and fill my cup and give me rest? Amen. You know, church, let's not give up. We can't give up. There's too much at stake for us to just give up. We just can't give up. I want you to know that weariness is part of the race. It happens. It's part of life. If you're weary, it just means that you're in the race, that you are in this walk with God. And I wish to say that some harvests, all harvests we will see here on earth, there are some harvests we're not going to see here on earth. There are some things we're just never going to see. Moses didn't get to go to the promised land. He didn't see that. Joshua did. There are some things we may never see. But I will tell you what we will see is we will see fellowship with our God in heaven one day. That we will see. That is the promise. That's the story, really, of the 10 virgins. It wasn't about a temporal harvest. It was their eternal harvest, the one that matters, and that's to see our God. And that is something that we are all going to partake of one day. And so I just want us to feel encouraged that if you're tired, don't give up. Just stay in the race. Weariness is part of it. And there's no reason for you to worry other than just to know that you're in good hands of a good Father. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray this morning. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for just your faithfulness. We thank you for your sweet love that you've given us, Lord. We're just so thankful that we're in the hands of a good Father and that you see us and that you pick us up when we fall and when we get tired and that you guide us through so, so softly, so delicately. And Lord, I just pray that when we get tired, when we get weary, that you remind our spirits, that you remind our soul that you are with us and that you are for us and that you are not against us. And that you breathe new life into our lungs and that we just get up and continue the race just like a runner. We just slip up and we fall and we just get right back up. And I just thank you, God, that you are so patient with us, that you are so loving and so kind. And we just give you this, Lord. We give it all to you this morning. And still with every eye closed and every head bowed, if maybe you are someone who's weary, but you've never even known the Lord, or you don't know the Lord, you've never made the Lord of your life, but you want to because you don't want to go through this race alone. You don't want to do this alone. You want to do this with vigor and you want to do this with knowing that someone is with you. If that's you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to repeat this prayer, and there's nothing special about it. There's nothing magical about the words that we're saying. It's more of just your heart posture for the Lord. And I'm just going to ask you to repeat after me, and that everyone else would do the same, if we can all just pray this together. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of all my wrongdoings. Wash me clean. Show me who you are. Reveal to me your heart. Show me your heart. I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.